Even with postseason aspirations still alive, Auburn is ahead of the offseason curve. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoos podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are breaking down everything that's going to go on this week with Auburn basketball as we look into the NIT semifinals, Auburn against Illinois State, and then the hiring of Brian Clowman as the Auburn general manager, and then the first signee out of, not really the transfer portal, but the first signee of this offseason for Auburn basketball, and it's a big rim protector. We're going to dive into all of it and even talk a little bit about the Elite Eight and going into the Final Four this upcoming week. But as always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are so excited for what's to come for this Auburn basketball program over the next few weeks, and hopefully it's with an NIT championship. Make sure you are subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube and hit the like button or wherever you listen to your podcast, as we're going to have breakdowns of this NIT semifinal game coming up, as well as the championship, assuming Auburn is to beat Illinois State. And then it's straight into the offseason. What will Auburn have to do to get back into the NCAA tournament and contend for SEC championships? It's going to be a fun and huge offseason for the Tigers and Stephen Pearl and this staff. And like I said, it doesn't quite officially get started just yet because there are still games to be played. And it begins tomorrow in historic Hinkle Fieldhouse, the home of the Butler Bulldogs, and just a huge opportunity for this program and this team to continue playing basketball, first of all, but also, you know, you get an opportunity to play for a championship. And we've said it every single episode over the last few weeks of it's not where you want it to be. We know that, but it's still a spot that Auburn's never been in. This is a tournament and a championship that, if you look back 5 years ago, it's a little bit more prestigious and people look at it a little bit differently than they do now. But regardless, it was the tournament to be in 50 years ago or so, and then the NCAA tournament took over, and the NIT was still what it was, and now it's watered down a little bit now. But still, Auburn's never won the NIT championship. That'd be something just to add to the history-making belt that Auburn's been doing over the last decade or so under Bruce Pearl and now Stephen Pearl. But we look at Illinois State and what this Auburn team is going to see from the Redbirds, because again, this is another mid-major opponent, this team out of the Missouri Valley, and they went 23-12 this season with a 12-8 conference record, knocked immediately out of the MVC tournament by Northern Iowa, and have beat Kent State, upset Wake Forest, and beat Dayton on the way to the NIT Final Four. And I mean, really, all three of those wins, I mean, Kent State, but I mean, Wake Forest and Dayton are two impressive wins, especially considering the Wake Forest one and the Dayton one were on the road, both in those opposing environments. And now they're going to get a semi-home environment inside historic Hinkle Fieldhouse, because they're just about 2 hours away from Butler's campus. And obviously Auburn is about 10 hours away from Indianapolis. And well, I don't think that's going to play the largest factor in this game. It's worth noting, considering Auburn's been at home the last three games, the first three rounds of the NIT against South Alabama and Seattle and Nevada, that makes a difference. Now you're on the road for the first time in a while. Now, fortunately, you had 8 days to prepare for that and get rested up. And that's something Coach Pearl discussed in his media availability previewing this game, was that they took several days off. This is a shorter rotation with the absence of Keyshawn Murphy, that they need to get back to 100%. And that's what they used that long layoff to do. Still going to get 4 days of practice and preparation and game planning in, but they were able to really just utilize all 8 of those days off to one, get rested and get in the training room, and then obviously game plan and prepare for Illinois State. So what is Auburn preparing for with the Redbirds. Well, this is a team that's going to shoot a lot of threes, and that's something that Auburn hasn't quite seen so far in the NIT. And we know that from the SEC, we've seen that. So it's not something that's going to completely catch the Tigers by surprise, but it is definitely something that maybe hasn't been prevalent over the last several games that Auburn's played. Obviously, you had Tennessee in the SEC tournament as your last game before the NIT. Mississippi State shot quite a few threes. I should say Josh Hubbard shot quite a few threes, but then you have to go back really to the regular season finale against Alabama for that last time Auburn faced a team that was going to launch threes from left and right. And this team, and here's the thing, Illinois State doesn't quite shoot it well from three, but it finds its spots. And 34.6% of the Redbirds' total points come from three-pointers. The national average is 31.4%. And then on the flip side, Auburn's going to have to find a way to work in the paint. And there's an opportunity to do that is Illinois State, in its points allowed, over half of the points that it allows is from inside the three-point arc. And you can kind of tell when you go look at the heights of the Illinois State roster. They've got one, Brandon Lieb is 7'1", but he plays 10 to 15 minutes a game. 15 would be on the high end. Their other big man is Chase Walker, 6'9", and he's probably their best player. He's 280. But point being is that's something that Auburn can match up all right with, because even without Keyshawn Murphy, you know Sebastian Williams Adams and Filip Jovic can match up with a guy that's 6'9". He's a little bit heavier. He's strong, but that's not something that those two guys haven't seen, and they'll be able to handle it quite well. And I think even Keyshawn Hall, that might provide a good matchup for him as well, to whether it's the gift to the free throw line or just shoot the 2-point shot like we know that he can, that can all work out for him with a smaller Redbirds roster that Auburn's going to have to take advantage of. And that's the thing is, I mean, the average height for Illinois State is 316th. In the nation. There's 365 Division I teams, so they're definitely on the smaller end. That's something that Auburn's going to have to exploit, but they do play tough defense. They don't allow a lot of offensive rebounds, which, not to say Auburn's really, that's been the catalyst for the Tigers in this NIT run, but it's been something that Auburn's been able to definitely take advantage of. Elijah Freeman and Hall and even Filip Jovic, those guys have done a good job on the offensive glass against whether it's teams that are smaller or just aren't quite equipped to prevent the offensive rebounds based off the way that they play the game. So I look at that as a key factor. And if Auburn's able to grab offensive boards and really take advantage of second chance opportunities, then this is going to give the Tigers a great chance to advance the NIT championship. When you look at Illinois State and who it's faced throughout this season, really the one high major opponent that the Redbirds have faced was USC back in November. They lost that game to the Trojans 87-67. Other than that, it's all been mid-major opponents and obviously MVC play and until that Wake Forest game in the NIT when they won that 78-75. It'll be an exciting one, I think, because of the way that this Illinois State offense plays. And I think that Auburn, knowing how well it can score, is going to try and really exploit the inside of Illinois State with the lack of height and size there, because that's what you got to do. And we know that Auburn's capable of that. You go back 2 months ago to that Florida game, and even with the disadvantage on the inside, as far as height and size goes, Auburn was still able to do that. So if you've got the advantage like you should this tomorrow, then Auburn should be in a good spot from that aspect. So I'm looking for guys like Jovic and Williams Adams and Keyshawn Hall to have their way. But it'll be just as important for Tahai Pettiford and Kevin Overton and Elijah Freeman as well to do what they've been doing throughout the NIT tournament. And and Overton had his huge performance against South Alabama. Tahad maybe hasn't scored as much as we've seen in postseason play before, but he's distributing the basketball well and really being a great a facilitator. And then Elijah Freeman, we know he's been the spark plug, whether that's scoring or rebounds or defense, whatever it is, he's found his role and played it well. So that's really the keys right there against Illinois State. Chase Walker is really their best player for the Redbirds, and he's going to be a tough defensive matchup for Filip Jovic and Sebastian Williams Adams. It'll be a tough test for them, and that'll be exciting to see. Again, you're looking ahead to this off season and next season, 26-27, and you want those guys to be kind of the keys and really the core of your rotation in 26 and 27 and beyond. So what is Auburn going to do to really do that? And hopefully this season ends with an NIT championship. You're going into the offseason with great vibes, and who knows what happens with the transfer portal, which opens a week from yesterday, the day after the national championship. And I kind of set it to open. Fortunately, Auburn's a little bit ahead of the curve right now as far as offseason acquisitions go, starting with general manager Brian Clohman. He comes over from Louisville, and this is a role that Auburn hired last offseason with Matt Gaetens coming in as a GM. But then with the retirement of Bruce Pearl in September, he was elevated to an assistant coach role on the floor, and that left that spot vacant. And now Clohman joins the crew and is going to be that general manager spot. And he comes from Louisville, a program that had to be revived by Pat Kelsey alongside Clohman and the rest of that staff. And they've done an excellent job of doing so when the Cardinals were just, before Pat Kelsey and that staff arrived, they're 8-24. And then they turned it right around and have been 51-19. Over the past few years. And what I think is very critical to look at when considering the role that Clohman is stepping into as a general manager. One, he was an assistant coach for Louisville and Pat Kelsey. He's been with Pat Kelsey for several moves. He started with him at Winthrop and then moved to College of Charleston with them. And they've been successful at every step of the way. So that's a key piece of this, is that he's been on winning staffs, whether it's at the mid-major level and now at the high-major level with Louisville. He moves over to an Auburn program that has Final Four aspirations year in and year out. So when you go and look at kind of what the recruiting has looked like for Louisville over the past couple of years, obviously when you're turning a program around the way that Kelsey and company have had to do, you're looking heavy at transfer additions. And that's not even really the biggest factor to what they'd done last year. You go back 2024, it was tough. They had 14 transfers just because of how behind they were. And not all of them were the biggest impact transfers, but they needed bodies and they needed them quick. So a lot of them were College of Charleston kids that followed Kelsey and Clohman to Louisville, but there were high major guys as well. So this is just an aspect to it where 2 years ago probably isn't it just isn't what that coaching staff is capable of. But then you jump to 2025 where Louisville signed the 10th best class in the nation. And it was the third best transfer portal haul in the nation, according to 24/7 Sports. And like I said, it's not the transfer additions that really is the highlight of Brian Clohman's time at Louisville. It's Mychael Brown Jr., who was a five-star, the number six player in the nation, number two point guard. He was added to the roster last year and was a stud for Louisville, making the ACC all-freshman team. One of the best guards in the country. Obviously, he was overlooked a little bit just with how insane this past year's freshman class was. So I just think that, one, the talent evaluation is there. And two, the development is clearly there. Yes, Brown Jr. was probably going to be good no matter where he went or what situation he was in, but Louisville was able to turn that into a tournament appearance and really a good season. You look at the transfer hall and what they brought in. Three names that are definitely worthy of being mentioned when you go and look at Isaac McNeely, transfer from Virginia to Louisville, Ryan Conwell from Xavier to Louisville, and then Adrian Woolley from Kennesaw State to Louisville. He was a five-star transfer. That's something you don't see. There are very few guys that in 24/7 sports world are listed as five stars when they transfer. You see a bunch of five stars out of the high school ranks, but you got to be pretty dang good to be rated that way as a transfer. And that's what Woolley was, and Louisville and Cloman were able to pull him out of the portal and bring him to Louisville. So again, this is just further proof of what he's been able to do at a high major program, a historic program that, man, just couldn't, that was just in the gutter a few years ago. And they were able to revive it just like that. And of course, you look at Auburn and where it is this year. It's obviously not even close to what Louisville was at 8-24 that year. But yeah, you definitely don't want to go from Final Four to NIT. That's a disappointment. But Auburn did have to overturn its entire roster. And now you're looking ahead to this offseason. You hope you don't have to do that again. You hope that you're able to bring back at least a solid core to build around. And I think that's what is going to be the key here for Brian Cloman, Stephen Pearl, and the rest of the staff into the offseason, is retaining that core and then finding guys like McNeely or Woolley to really add into the factor of, all right, we're trying to compete for a championship. It's not, let's just make the NCAA tournament. You want to make noise in the SEC and try and get back to SEC championship caliber basketball. And like I said, that's something that this staff and this team is capable of doing. It's just got to have a good offseason, got to be ready for what's to come starting on Tuesday when that transfer portal opens. But Auburn has made an addition already, as we've talked about it all season long. Defense, 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 rim protector, everything that goes into it. And here, Auburn signs a 7-foot rim protector, a French center. And I looked everywhere for pronunciation and I couldn't find it. So forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. Narcisse Ngoy is what I'm going with right now until I'm told differently, but I'm hoping I'm right. Point being, Ngoy is going to have 2 or 3 years of eligibility. Right now it's 2, but I think the staff wants to try and make that 3. Ideally, he didn't even have to play 3. He's good enough to make the jump to the professional level after a couple of years, similar to a Walker Kessler. But listen, you watch his highlights, and I don't even need to read the numbers. If you've watched the highlights, you know what to expect. He is he like I said, he's a rim protector. He is the ultimate interior presence with rebounding and shot blocking. He played in the French Elite 2 League and averaged a double-double, 10.8 points and 11.5 rebounds per game, 2.5 blocks as well, and he was efficient in shooting the basketball. This is a guy that can make an immediate impact, and I think the development can certainly come along with his offensive game, but man, it's good when you know that you're going to have the immediate rebounding and defense from this guy, because that's what this coaching staff preaches and is desperately in need of after this past season. That's the single most important factor to the transfer portal this offseason, is recruiting defense, and this is an excellent start with Ngoy coming into the frame of mind. And I mean, here's another note from from the press release by Auburn basketball was that he had three of the top single game rebounding performances this season in the French league, in the French Elite Two league, league high 21 rebounds while also having 19 and 16 rebounds in the game. His season high in blocks is 6. So yeah, he's flying around the paint and grabbing right rebounds, blocking shots and doing everything he needs to do on the defensive end. And, it'll just be important to develop that offensive game and get that where it needs to be. But regardless, Auburn gets a huge interior presence, literally. And that's something that we discussed all season long was how can Auburn guard on the inside? How can the Tigers figure this out? And while last season there was no way to fix it with the roster, now the Tigers are already seeing that and are making solutions. But I think that also kind of gives an idea of where maybe this coaching staff wants to go once the transfer portal opens. We'll see if they add another big man because, look, Emeka Oporam is on the roster right now. We don't know what's to come with him, with his condition and just whether or not he hangs around. Filip Jovic and Sebastian Williams-Adams are clearly not your typical centers. They're a little bit out of position. But Jovic has done an excellent job. Let me just say that. This NIT run, he has done a fantastic job playing that position at the size that he is. So I'll be interested to see what they add here. If they try and get a high major guy or mid major guy or whatever it is. I mean, look, Jahni Barum was highly touted out of Morehead State, but I don't think anyone expected him to develop into a national player of the year. So maybe you go get a younger guy that can develop for a year under Ngoy. And again, Emeka Oporam could be that. And again, it's unfortunate that he had to sit out most of the season with his condition just because of what's going on there. So he didn't get to get SEC minutes or even really continue his development into January, February, and March and into this postseason. But the spot is there for him and anyone else that they go after. So that's a huge addition for this program, this team, and for 26 and 27. And again, I go back to what Brian Klohman brings to the table. And Coach Pearl talked about it previewing the Illinois State game. Naturally, he was asked about Brian Klohman and his role because that hire was made last week. And the point he brought up was the international, the familiarity with the international game that Klohman has and how well he has recruited that. And that's been just a huge key just because clearly I would imagine that had an impact on the recruitment of Ngoy. And I think that's something that we can start to bank on it and look at because I just think that it's very funny just when you look on social media when this signing was announced and obviously the Charles Bediako situation was brought up, even though it's apples to oranges. And I don't even need to dive into why that's the case. Anyone listening to this show or watching this show knows exactly why there's a huge difference in that. Narcisse Ngoy did not forego his college eligibility. But again, Coach Pearl he talks about how impressed he is with Klohman and sticking with Pat Kelsey and turning that Louisville program around. And yeah, it does start with his familiarity and his success in the international recruiting ranks. And that goes back to his days at Winthrop and College of Charleston. Both of those programs, they got to a high level and to a high standard because of the way he could recruit. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's a little bit more of that coming for this Auburn basketball team, especially once the transfer portal officially opens, because it might not be directly from the international professional ranks. It might be, guys transferring from other programs that were formerly overseas and in an international league. So that's just something to look out for. And we're starting to see some news roll out of guys intending to transfer. And I'll tell you what, another reason why I think accepting this NIT bid was so good. And Coach Pearl, he called out Keyshawn Hall, and him being a key part of why they did this was because he was vocal about wanting to continue to play, wanting to play postseason basketball. That has led to this team sticking together. And other than Keyshawn Murphy not participating in the tournament, all these guys are together. They're practicing. They're playing together. They are not the last SEC team, because the college basketball crown tournament doesn't start until tomorrow or today, for whatever reason. So Oklahoma is still playing. But other than Oklahoma, Auburn is the last SEC team still playing basketball. So that means they're together longer than any other team this season. Means they're spending more time together than any other team this season. They're playing more games together than any other team this season. That matters. That plays a factor in how you can retain a roster and what happens this upcoming Tuesday and beyond when the transfer portal officially opens. So I just, regardless of the result of tomorrow night's game, or if Auburn beats Illinois State, the result of the championship on Sunday, this has been a successful NIT run and offseason so far for Auburn basketball. When you already hired your GM, you already secured a huge signing by a defensive presence and a seven-footer in Narcisse Ngoy. So that's what we got. And we are so much looking forward to tomorrow night's game against Illinois State. That game's going to tip off at approximately 8:30. Of course, the New Mexico-Tulsa semifinal game is going to lead into that. We know how that goes. There will probably be a slight delay, but we'll break it down regardless after the game and talk about hopefully what's to come on Sunday and a little preview of the NIT championship. And if not, we'll talk about what went wrong against the Redbirds and then look ahead to the offseason. So make sure you subscribe right here to the Barn Podcast Network, whether that's on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast. Hit the like button on YouTube and we'll get you all the updates on Auburn basketball here on the Barn Hoops Podcast, or Auburn baseball on the Barn Baseball Show. And then all of our other shows have you covered with Auburn football, spring practices. There's so much going on with that program and everything going on. So make sure you keep it tuned right here to the Barn Podcast Network. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.